Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to the Brandon Dowling Show on Gent Nation Radio. Now here is your host, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And you are listening to another edition of the Brandon Dowling Show here on Jet Nation Radio. And I am, of course, a very, very annoyed Brandon Dowling tonight. And I mean, there's so many things this year as New York Jet fans that we have just you know, that we've you know, the way the defense start, you know, has played, Coach Todd Bowles, the defensive secondary turnaround, Darrell Revis, you know, there have been a lot of positives from the New York Jets season so far. Not a lot of negatives. Completely was an absolute embarrassing performance by the New York Jets. I mean, this was a loss is as bad as it could possibly get. In a game that was started with Ryan Fitzpatrick going down, which everybody obviously holding their breath, and turned into one of the worst performances by a Jets defense I've ever watched. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm ready for this game. And, you know, this is a 4 o'clock game. We're not accustomed to watching 4 o'clock games. It's a West Coast game. You know that playing out there is tough. You know they got a good team. But the New York Jets didn't even get off the damn plane on Sunday. And I'll tell you what. There are so many negatives to take away from this game. The defense finally got beat and couldn't make any stops. You know, we've seen them be in a lot of bend but don't break situations this whole year, which have resulted in them kind of getting away with another team missing a play. In Philly, they had some wheel routes that Philly missed. The Patriots with the drop passes. The Redskins with a couple drop passes. The Jets defense has gotten away with other teams not executing plays this year, which has kind of held them to a top five status. Don't get me wrong. The New York Jets defense is not good. It's great. It's a great defense. But after what I saw on Sunday, it's finally time for them to say, okay, we're not doing everything 100% right. It's back to the drawing board. Because clearly what we've been doing the past 2 weeks is we've been letting ourselves really be open. First thing is, where is the pressure on the quarterback? All I hear about is this defensive line, this defensive line, this defensive line. We've got Leonard Williams. Excuse me. We've got Leonard Williams. We've got Sheldon Richardson. We've got Muhammad Wilkerson. We've got Snacks Damon Harrison. Where is the pressure? Derek Carr could have went and got a hot dog last week and came back and threw a pass and he wouldn't even have been touched. Where was it? This game was disgusting. And I'll tell you what, another negative is Geno Smith is finito. I mean, Geno Smith got a golden opportunity to play his way back into making this his football team. Fitzpatrick goes down, and everybody's sitting there going, well, here comes Geno. And what should be running through Geno Smith's mind? Wow, I got my break. I got injured, and he took my job. now it's time for me to regain my job back. And the only way to do that was for him to get hurt because the Jets have been winning football games. And Geno Smith looked lost on Sunday. He didn't play bad. Don't get me wrong. Geno Smith did not play terrible on Sunday. But you also have to take into consideration the fact that Oakland was beating them so bad, their defense was definitely taking a step back. And Oakland does not have a good Oakland has a horrible pass defense to begin with. But the awareness of Geno Smith, his ability to make good decisions, he's just not the answer. And I mean, not that we thought Geno Smith was the answer. Not that the Jets thought that Geno Smith was going to be the guy here going into this year for the next 10 years. But I'll tell you what. It's so disappointing because when I asked the question, who is the Jets' answer at quarterback? What is the answer? Ryan Fitzpatrick is a rental, folks. It's a year or two. That's it. Then he's gone. Is this going to be a bad football team that's going to draft in the top five? I would hope not. With the money they spent, they should be drafting in the bottom 10 of the draft and being in the playoffs and competing. Going into the Patriot game last week, we were talking about taking down the Patriots. What are you going to do at the quarterback position? We saw a glimpse of life outside of Fitzpatrick this year, and it was horrible. Geno Smith obviously doesn't have it together. And I'll tell you what, I apologize to Ryan Fitzpatrick supporters because I was dead wrong. I underestimated what Ryan Fitzpatrick meant to this team when I had to watch Geno Smith look like a deer in headlights out there on Sunday, not knowing what to do with the football. It's frustrating because the defense didn't show up, the quarterback gets hurt, and then the backup quarterback, who is good enough to be your starter in some aspects, okay? Geno Smith going into this year was your starter. So you're not bringing in a guy who's a true backup quarterback. Geno Smith is not a true backup quarterback. You're not going to Tom Brady and asking Jimmy Garoppolo to come in. You're not going to the Saints and asking Luke McCown to come in. You're not going to these teams that have true backup quarterbacks. Now, I'm not comparing Fitzpatrick to any of those guys. What I'm saying is Geno Smith is 1A, 1B to 1A, which is Ryan Fitzpatrick. So when Geno Smith comes in the game, you should not see a substantially different performance than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Is Fitzpatrick better? Yes. But should you see a drop-off from a 1 to a 2? No. And we saw a drop-off. We saw an awareness of zero. Throwing it into the ground, running out of bounds, taking big hits, taking sacks, interception. I mean, it was horrendous. And again, for what the situation Geno Smith was put in, he did not play a terrible game. But he played to the point where you said, why is this guy on an NFL roster? And that's where it came to the point where you said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with the situation at quarterback for the Jets? Because Ryan Fitzpatrick, like I said before, is not the answer. And I'll tell you what. I was just kind of throwing this out there and messing around with people on Twitter, and we had some good conversation about it. And even Rich Cimini brought it up. I love the fact that people were, you know, laughing or contemplating the idea that Colin Kaepernick is not light years ahead of anything that we have on this roster right now. I mean, that's funny. I mean, I understand that San Francisco is bad. I understand that Colin Kaepernick is having a rough year. I mean, he got such the short end of the stick with their offensive team getting dismantled. New head coach. I mean, this guy's a great player. And if you had a chance to bring him into the Jets for a third to fourth round pick, you would be a moron not to do that. You got to be kidding me. Who is the answer long term? You think it's Bryce Petty? He hasn't even taken a snap yet. Some people are calling for Bryce Petty on Sunday. He wasn't even active. Another stupid decision. Who? You don't come into the game with two quarterbacks. This is as bad as it gets. Because now you're in a situation where what are you going to do? As much as we love Ryan Fitzpatrick, and as much as we love the Fitzmagic and the beard and the yada, 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 the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starting quarterback for the New York Jets right now, in this very moment, is a good thing. The fact that the New York Jets starting quarterback is Ryan Fitzpatrick right now for the future is horrendous. Because that means you have no future at quarterback right now. You want to go trade up five picks and go get a guy in the first round? You want to get a journeyman free agent? It's disappointing. It's very disappointing. This week is such a crucial game for the New York Jets. Because going into this game, you're going to have Ryan Fitzpatrick back at quarterback, which every single Jet fan, including myself, takes a big sigh of relief. You're going up against a Jacksonville team that's going to come in and knows that the Jets are wounded. I mean, this is a game the Jets should have by at least two touchdowns. If you're a playoff team, you beat up on Jacksonville. It's quite simple. I know the Jets are beat up. Fitzpatrick's coming into this game with torn ligaments in his hand and his thumb. I get it. If the New York Jets fall to 4-4 and lose three straight games, don't call this team a playoff team. If the New York Jets want to be back and considered a good football team and a playoff team, you beat Jacksonville and you beat Buffalo. You get to 6-3 and then you're talking. 6-3, two division wins, then you have something to say. Because right now, after what I saw on Sunday, I am so discouraged with the New York Jets. I really am. Because the defense not showing up, the quarterback situation of Geno Smith coming in and looking lost. I mean, it's unbelievable. Because now you have to say to yourself, well, who's the answer? Right now, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, I want to get to, you know, one of the questions asked by one of the guys who loves the show. We love him out there on Twitter is Richard Gonzalez at Rich Jets. You know, he asked us on Jet Nation Radio, would you, he wanted to hear the take on not trading for a QB and starting Fitzpatrick on Sunday. Look, I was a huge fan of going out and kicking the tires on Colin Kaepernick. Because, again, I'm thinking now and I'm thinking long term. And I'm thinking about Colin Kaepernick, who a year ago had over 4,000 yards passing and rushing and 20 touchdowns and 10 picks, and is a guy who every single year up till, you know, last year was a play away from winning a Super Bowl. You know, I don't want to hear anything negative about Colin Kaepernick outside of this year. I mean, he's on a bad football team. He's not a Peyton Manning. He's not a Tom Brady. He's not an Aaron Rodgers. He's not even a Matt Ryan. But guess what? He's a lot better than any quarterback we've seen here in a long time. He needs a fresh start. The Jets could have put him on this team with $5 million owed to him. I believe the only kicker was if he gets injured and he can't play, then he's owed the rest of the money, something like that. And I'll tell you what, that's why he's being benched, because the 49ers don't want him to get hurt. After this year, Colin Kaepernick's going to get cut or traded. And I think the New York Jets would be insane not to look at him as an option. Because in my opinion, if he's the quarterback of this team, this is a Super Bowl team. Now, am I upset that they didn't make it happen? No. Am I angry that Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starting quarterback on Sunday? Absolutely not, Rich. Not a chance. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the best man for the job. He's done a great job this year. He got hurt on Sunday. It happens. It's football. But I still believe that a trade definitely could have went down for a guy like Kaepernick. If the asking price was right, of course. I mean, let's not get out of control here. You know, I'd like to bring in our producer behind the scenes, Nick Lucarelli. You know, he actually picked the Raiders in this game. And Nick, you know, you've been listening to me behind the scenes a little bit. I just kind of wanted to get your take a little bit on what I've been saying.
Yeah, about which aspect?
Whatever you pick.
I'd like to echo your sentiment about being pretty disheartened, because obviously that was pretty tough to watch on Sunday. I don't know how many people thought it was going to happen. I know even less people who thought it was going to happen like that. I myself wasn't feeling great about the game, but even when I saw it unfolding, I couldn't really believe my eyes, the lack of effort and how bad the game eventually became. It became a little bit embarrassing, I gotta be honest. And, this is the kind of game that at the end of the season in January, we might be looking back on just saying, oof, they just didn't show up that day. But I'm trying to think about it like that, but it's really hard to look past this week. Maybe if we get a win versus Jacksonville, it'll sting a little bit less. But that's a team that we're better than, and to go into their place and act as if we were taking them lightly. But I don't think anybody was taking the Raiders lightly, and we were going to Oakland, so there was no reason to. And it just looked like they, as you said, didn't even get off the bus. And it was pretty tough to watch.
You know something? I almost have to believe, and this may just be me overthinking things, and that's what we're here for. You know, we wouldn't be on the show if we weren't overthinking everything. But it's a matter of, I wonder how much of the team's, you know, enthusiasm and the team's confidence was shot as a whole when Ryan Fitzpatrick went down. I mean that's something to think about, because, I mean, they just looked unmotivated, like they were going through the motions out there. You know, everybody, they all looked like they were lost out there. The only person that showed up to play on Sunday was Darrell Revis, and that was about it. I mean, Cromartie had his worst game of the year as a Jet. I think that this team, you know, it might be something to say when your starting quarterback goes in there and on the first series he comes out of the game, and they probably knew that he wasn't going back in there. So, I mean, I don't know how much Fitzpatrick going down affected the team as a whole, but it just looked like they were unprepared, you know, not ready for this football game. And I'll tell you something, you know, this is a classic New York Jet loss. And I'm disappointed in Todd Bowles, because, you know, if Todd Bowles wants to be this guy who's not going to talk and he's going to keep his mouth shut, well, you better have some answers for me besides, well, we just didn't play well. We didn't tackle. We didn't throw the ball. We didn't run the ball. We didn't do anything well. Well, that's not what I want to hear. Let's keep the profanity down. But you know what, Sherlock? You know, thank you so much for the obvious. I just had to sit there for 3.5 hours and watch you get your ass kicked. Can you give me a little bit more than we didn't play well? I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, I get Todd Bowles is his point on things, and he wants to keep the media down, he wants to keep a low profile, and he doesn't want to be this big talker. But you gotta speak to people, and you gotta be held accountable for when your team walks into a stadium and looks like it's the first time they've ever put their hand in the dirt to play football before. And you know, it's really disgusting to me, because the team and the season, and I don't know if you feel this way, Nick. I mean, this might just be me, has done a complete 360. You know, last week I was very confident going into the Oakland game. I'll tell you what, they're having problems running the ball. They're having problems stopping people. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the starting quarterback, the Jets are doomed. So, I mean, this is not a good situation right now.
Yeah, and just want to touch on one thing with Bowles, because I know that we both of us were singing his praises last week, even though they lost,
yeah,
about how he went for it on 2nd and 3, and I was really happy, because that was the first time where I've been pretty indifferent about Bowles throughout the season. I mean, he's
right,
kind of a wait-and-see attitude, but he really showed me something last week. When it comes to this week, forget about just the lack of defensive adjustments, not really knowing what to do, not being able to run the ball, and it's kind of akin to not calling a timeout on 2nd and 3. And this might seem like a moot point, but it really, really bothered me. When we're down, I think we're down 10, the point is the game is do or die mode in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
We're on our own 20. And he's punting the ball. And that blew my mind.
Well, you know why he's punting the ball there.
Because he doesn't want them to score any more points against his defense.
Right. And
that's why. And that I was embarrassed by that.
He conceded. He basically said, I know that my offense isn't going to score. I don't want them running up the score and losing by any more than we already are. I'm punting the football, and the game is over. He basically put it to a point where said, 14 points. Because guess what? If you're down 21 or if you're down 30 points there, I can see punting the ball, okay? If you're down by 30 points with 3-4 minutes to go and it's 4th and, you know, whatever it is in your own, you know, in your own side of the field, you punt the ball. It's football. It's, you know, it's like it's just in the unwritten rules of football, okay? The game's over. You don't have a chance. I get it. You're down 14 points with 3 minutes and 45 seconds to go. You need a first down, and the game is on the line. You're basically saying, I have Geno Smith at quarterback. I'm done with this. And even though it actually worked to his favor because the defense stopped them and Oakland was throwing the ball like they wanted to just, you know, they wanted to keep playing and give the Jets more chances to come back in this game, you know, he basically said, I give up. He said, I'm giving up on this game, I'm getting on my plane, and we're going home, and we're going to reevaluate. And that's not okay. It's not okay because you're better than that. You're not a 1-5, 1-7. Yes. And you know something? It was telling. It was 100% telling. It told you a lot about this game, and now this team really has to look at themselves and say, you know, we need to come together and realize that this is a good football team. And I'll tell you what, Nick, the defense, like I said before, the defense finally got caught, okay? What I mean by that is there were a lot of plays in the Redskins game, in the Eagles game, in the Patriots game, and now in this game, okay, where the Jets defense, the play was there for the other team to make, and the other team didn't make it, okay? The wheel routes in the Eagles game could have put, you know, the guys on the outside, the Eagles dropped, I think, 3 passes where Sproles had nobody in front of him, could have waltzed into the end zone for a touchdown. Kirk Cousins missed 3 open guys, which probably would have put the game away against the Jets when the Redskins played them. And then the Patriots, 11 drop balls, Edelman drops a touchdown, would have put the game away. You know, and this week, Oakland made the plays. And the defense finally got shown up a little bit. And guess what? I personally think, as much as it stings, it was good for them. Because now it's time to take a step back, reevaluate the scheme, reevaluate what you're doing, and realize it's time to step up your game. I expect the defense to come out against Jacksonville and to dismantle the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday. I think it's going to be a 3-4 interception day for Blake Bortles. But my only problem is, where's the pass rush? Where is the pass rush? It has not been there all year.
It's not on the roster. It's
right.
Not on the roster. Because
right.
This is a 3-4, and people need to stop acting like our defensive ends, who are as good as they are, they're not pass rushing defensive ends. They might as well be defensive tackles. In a 3-4, you need good pass rushing outside linebackers, and I'm sick of people trying to bamboozle each other and trying to lie to themselves saying that's what we have to roster. We don't. Neither of our linebackers would start on any other team. I can't get over it how these guys and how Trevor Riley and these other guys don't get more playing time.
Right. I think that there's we're looking at this team and we're saying to ourselves, we've got all these defensive linemen, but where is the pass rush? And you know what the sad part is the pass rush is not even getting there from the blitz, which is mind-boggling to me. It's mind-boggling to me because Todd Bowles is a very blitz-heavy guy, and I've never seen this to the point where the blitzes aren't even – they're not coming close.
Yeah, and I mean, it was that enough in the beginning of the first half of the season, or the first quarter of the season, where we can't get a pass rush unless it's a blitz. If this blitz continues to consistently not get there, it can get ugly against a good quarterback, let alone an average quarterback in Derek Carr who's playing a little bit above average football. When we play somebody like a Tom Brady again, if we can't get a pass rush, it can get ugly.
Right. And, I mean, just think about this. Look at the way the Denver Broncos defense was swarming Aaron Rodgers on Sunday night. That's a pass-rushing defense right there. That's a defense that's getting after the quarterback every single play. And this New York Jets defense is talented, okay? But they need to figure out how they're going to get to the quarterback because it's not working. And this game was so discouraging to me because, like I said, you know, it's a matter of now you – and you know the worst part is, Nick, too – is not that anybody had any confidence in Geno Smith being here for the next 10 years, like I said before, but in the back of your mind, you have to realize that this is a short-term QB team right now, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that if you asked anybody in a multiple-choice test if they wouldn't have checked that off at the beginning of the season. I just think that because it became so clear on Sunday, it hurt a little bit more. But, I mean, I think we're in a much bigger problem of if Ryan Fitzpatrick gets hurt again this year, I mean, the season might be over.
Let me ask you a question. What did you, just for fun and just for conversation, what did you think about the Colin Kaepernick stuff?
And, you know, Colin Kaepernick is a guy where I get enamored with him whenever I watch him because he'll make one or two plays a game where you're just like, how is this guy not the best quarterback in the history of the game? With the way he can fling that ball on the run. But I personally wouldn't have gone after Kaepernick just because it's the middle of the season. It's this halfway point. I am a big believer that you need chemistry. You need to build through playbooks, through chemistry, through wide receivers. And I just think that it would be it'd be a waste. If they want to go after him in the offseason, that's a different conversation. But me personally,
Let me ask you a question. If the San Francisco 49ers called and they said we want a 3 and a 4 for Colin Kaepernick, would you say yes or no?
I mean, again, it's kind of open. Put it this way, I'd say yes with the understanding that Colin is okay with him not playing for the Jets this year.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think there's a fair point. I don't think he'd be ready to play. But I think the notion that this is not a guy who would make this team better is insane. I think that you're looking at it – because I'll tell you what, the Jets are going to be in talks because he's going to be either a free agent or get traded at the end of this year. It's going to happen this offseason. I think because I believe he's under contract for another year. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think his contract expires this year. But I know for a fact that he's owed $5 million for the rest of this year and can be cut with no additional cost if he does not get injured. That's why he's on the bench. He's not on the bench because they think Blaine, I throw like I'm blind, Gabbert is out there to make the 49ers better. He's out on the bench because they don't want him to get hurt because they don't want to pay him any money. So, Colin Kaepernick, this story is not going away because he's going to get cut or traded, like I said, by the San Francisco 49ers. And it's just a matter of who's going to give up for him and who's going to go after him. If you're the New York Jets and you finish this year and Ryan Fitzpatrick obviously is a one-year guy, who knows what's going to happen with him after this year. If you don't go get a 28-year-old Colin Kaepernick or even kick the tires on it, like I said before, that's ridiculous. It honestly is, because I think with that guy's skill set and what he's done in the past, he's on a bad football team right now. If you put Ryan Fitzpatrick, or if you put Matt Ryan, okay, on the San Francisco 49ers right now, I don't think they're any better than what they are right now. I mean, I just went from, you know, I went up a tier in quarterback, because that's where I think this guy is. Because I've seen the 49ers in the NFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl every year, and their quarterback has a lot to do with it. So don't think that this story is going away, because this is going to be the number one quarterback out there this offseason, without question. I mean, last offseason it was McCown and Brian Hoyer. He's going to be the guy out there this year.
Yeah, and I mean, I think people need to start, and this is similar with Fitzpatrick, but it's totally magnified with Kaepernick. I think we learned this year that Colin Kaepernick is not good enough to make a bad team good, but who?
Right.
Not that many people are. And that's
no.
Okay. But he's definitely good enough to make an impact on a team that's loaded with talent, as we saw
right.
in the Super Bowl run. Yes, is he one of those guys that can transform teams? He's that good of a thrower? No, he's not. But that's I don't mind that. I think a lot of Jets fans, if they're being honest with themselves, would sign up for an above-average talent on a talented team that can get you 10, 11 wins.
Right, and I think that if you take the logistics aside – and just talk fantasy for a second, okay? And if you took Colin Kaepernick and put him in this team right now, I think the Jets are a Super Bowl team. I truly believe that. I think that if you take a motivated, ready-to-go Kaepernick and put him with this group of guys, with Brandon Marshall and Decker and Ivory and this defense, it's a Super Bowl team.
It certainly would be interesting. You know, obviously, I understand the question here, you know, is in a fantasy world, and
right.
I love to live there, and I agree that logically that would make some sense. Obviously, it's with jelly and stuff like that, but in terms of his talent, this guy should be the Super Bowl every year. He's a lot like a Cam Newton or even like an Aaron Rodgers.
Well, the reason why I'm bringing his name up, Nick, is because it's not going away. It's not, and the thing is, he's going to be there. See, here's what I think is going to happen, okay? I think that GMs are not stupid, okay? I think that the way it's going to work is the 49ers are going to be forced to do one of two things. And then we'll drop the subject, okay? Because then we'll get to the next game. But the 49ers are going to be forced to do one or two things. The teams are not going to trade high draft picks for him because they know the 49ers are done with him, okay? So, obviously, their 49ers are going to take a late round pick, or they're going to cut him. And once he becomes available like that, the New York Jets should be the number one team on the list, because this is a guy that has a future to play another 5 to 7 years in this league, is a good quarterback, can make a difference, can be an impact player at the quarterback position, and gives you some type of future realistic chance at winning a Super Bowl. And that's what the goal is. Because you've got a young team that's developing, you put a guy like that in here, he's going to be the number one asset in terms of a quarterback this offseason. That's why we're talking about it now, because there was the possibility that you could have landed him now, but I think that there are a lot of logistics come into it. You can't expect the quarterback to come in and learn the playbook overnight in midseason. The Jets are in a good place right now with Fitzpatrick quarterback-wise for this year. They had a bump in the road in Oakland on Sunday, a lot more than a bump in the road because there's a lot of question marks. But I think that this team now has to really get into put-up-or-shut-up mode, because this, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong here, this is a must-win game on Sunday.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think with the Eagles and Raiders, you've already had two games where you should have won against teams that you're better than, and you can't afford that many more of those. You maybe be a wild card, but you cannot afford that many more of those games and be a legitimate contender.
Right. I mean, this is a huge, huge game, because you cannot go down – to beating these guys and then all of a sudden get into this point. I mean, the New York Jets are a couple of plays away from, you know, being either 5-1 or, you know, any case, you know, 2-4. So, I mean, this game is going to tell a lot about the Jets. They're back at home. They haven't played at home in almost, you know, 3 weeks now. They need to be ready to play their style of football. And, you know, the big question mark is how limited is Ryan Fitzpatrick with the thumb injury? That's going to be the biggest question mark. You know, would you rather have a Ryan Fitzpatrick with that big glove on his hand playing quarterback than Geno Smith?
Yes, I'd also rather have Bryce Petty than Geno Smith. I'm done with Geno. I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, how can you argue that, though? I mean, you can't. And that's the thing. I mean, look, you know, we might be talking about getting different guys in free agency. You know, who knows what Bryce Petty has to offer? But here's the thing. When I say who knows what Bryce Petty has to offer, I don't want to find out what Bryce Petty has to offer right now. Okay?
I don't want to know what Bryce,
because if we're sitting here finding out what Bryce Petty has to offer, that means that we are no longer a team that's talking about playing in the playoffs. That means that we're a rebuilding team I'm going to say it again, it's my phrase of the night, that's kicking the tires on young players on our team that are seeing what, you know, people have, and it means that we're in rebuild mode. And I don't want to be there right now, because this team is a good football team. They need to get their act together, clean up their mistakes, get to 5-3, beat Jacksonville at home, and turn around. Because guess what? It's going to be huge, because you're going to be playing two football games, 4 days? Sunday to Thursday. You better win at home on Sunday and win at home on Thursday. You get 2 wins in 4 days. You sit at 6-3. Then the Jet fans are going to take a nice big sigh of relief and get ready, because this is the point in time where you win against teams you're supposed to win against.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's very simple. It's really, you know, and this game against Jacksonville, I mean, it's so important, because you're at home, it's time to win your home games, and you need to just keep stackpiling wins if you want a chance to play in the playoffs. And, you know, Chris Ivory, as great as Chris Ivory has been, I think there's more to that injury than people are letting on. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, with the Patriots games, I think it's a little bit different, just because it seemed like it was that tweak on that first play. And frankly, the Jets are in a bit of a rhythm. And with this game, it kind of just got away pretty fast, so I'm not so sure what kind of rhythm he could have gotten. So I think it's being a little bit overplayed in one aspect, but on the other hand, I totally agree that he should be more effective than what he's been, despite the fact that he's not getting the ball that much. They're keeping secret, but I believe that it's hindering him more than it would hinder somebody else for whatever reason. Maybe because of how hard he chugs his legs, but there's something more to that than meets the eye. I would agree.
All right, well, let's dive right into it. We got 20 minutes left in the show here. Let's jump into our, what we love to call on the Brandon Dowling Show here, our Jet Nation Radio Picks of the Week. And last week, we were even there, Mr. Luke Riley, but we sit here as I am now at 17-18, crawling to that 500 mark. And you, my friend, are sitting at 24-11. A little bit of a hit on that record, huh?
Yeah, it was an off week for me. I got to be honest, I'm a little bit embarrassed. I'm used to a certain standard.
Well, here comes your standard, as we're going to start with Cleveland at Cincinnati. Johnny Football getting the start for the Browns. Does that make a difference against the undefeated Bengals? Cleveland goes at Cincy. Who do you like and why?
You know, I definitely think it makes a difference, and I think it makes a difference not because of Johnny Football, but because just of the backup goalie theory, where teams galvanize around the young guy and they want to see him do well. And I think they do, no matter how strange his tenure in the NFL has been so far. I think that's going to have a little bit of an effect on the game. I don't think it's going to matter, because this is Cincinnati and because the Bengals proved to me last week that they are officially a really good team. I think Cincinnati wins.
I think the Bengals right now are smelling blood in the water in their division. I think they want to continue to remain undefeated with the Broncos and the Patriots. They want to continue to play well. They want to get to their Bronco game at the end, later in this year, either undefeated or one-loss football team. They're not going to do it at home against the Cleveland Browns with Johnny Manziel. I don't care how talented Manziel might be. Hasn't shown me enough that he's going to walk into a division rival and beat them, let alone an undefeated division rival, and do it on Thursday Night Football. I don't like the Browns at all in this game. It's a double-digit spread. I think that the Bengals win very handily on Thursday night. Oakland just kicked our ass, goes into Pittsburgh in a huge, huge, I don't care if it's early, wild card implications in this game for the Jets, for the Raiders, and for the Steelers. Who do you like and why?
Yeah, this should be a good one. You know, I don't think the Raiders are an apparition because I'm a big fan of Derek Carr. And I think that they've got some nice, talented players. But their defense is not very good. They're playing above themselves. Not like they played a great team with a great effort last week within the Jets. But, I mean, Pittsburgh's got to win this week. They cannot lose this game. You're 100% right. Playoff implications. Big-time playoff implications. It doesn't look like they're going to be able to test Cincinnati. But they are a wild-card team at best, generally. So they need to win this game at home. I'm picking Pittsburgh because of the desperate team.
This is a game where if the Jets are playing them or any other team was playing the Steelers just annoy you and win this game. It's just what they do. They win these games. They're like a cat that's just clawing at your leg. They just don't stop. They're going to win this football game because it's how they roll. That's what Pittsburgh Steeler football is all about. Oakland's going to come in at 4-2. They're going into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's at 4-2. They know that they need to keep playing well, and they need to keep getting wins. They've got their quarterback back. And Pittsburgh is very, very difficult to beat at home, especially the Raiders. Their Raiders are flying high right now. They definitely are in their prime position. They think that they can beat the whole world. They think they can beat everybody. They're flying all the way out to Pittsburgh. I think they're going to fall to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like Pittsburgh in this game by a touchdown or two. Next game. In another reunion, Peyton Manning goes back to Indianapolis. The Colts are in disarray. They're one, if not the biggest disappointment in football this year. The Denver Broncos, who are red hot right now, and all they keep doing is winning football games. People want to keep doubting Peyton Manning. All he's doing is chalking up W's, and that defense is lethal. Broncos go to Indianapolis. Can the Colts pull off the upset?
You know, I'm calling it right now. I'm thinking this game is going to be a first-half bet for the Colts. I think the Broncos are going to come out very flat because of that huge win they had against the Packers. A lot of people, for whatever reason, gave them no chance, which is a little bit ridiculous. But a lot of people, including myself, thought the Packers were going to win a close one. I think they're going to come off a little bit sluggish because of that huge win they had at home. And I think the Colts are going to come out again. They're desperate every week now. But I don't think it's going to matter, even though I think the Colts are going to come out. Maybe with a 10-point lead, the Denver's eventually going to claw back, and Luck's going to be turning the ball over against that defense. Broncos win it eventually pretty handily.
You know, this is a game that you look at the Indianapolis Colts and you say, you got to have it. You know, you got to eventually get a win at some point. I think if the Colts don't win this game, their season, you know, and I can't say their season's over because their division sucks so bad. You know, it's like if the New York Jets played in the AFC South, we'd be talking about getting our division champion shirts out every year. I mean, it's a bad division. It's filled with bad teams. And I just think that the Colts are playing at home in a game against their former player, obviously Peyton Manning. You know, my heart tells me pick the Colts, but my head tells me to pick the Broncos. So I'm going to listen to my heart on this one, and I'm going to give the Colts and Andrew Luck a shot at home against Peyton Manning. I won't be surprised if the Broncos win this game by 2 to 3 scores, but I think the Colts show me something on Sunday and get a victory.
I love it.
Our next game, Philadelphia goes into Dallas. Who do you like and why?
This is the toughest game of the week, in my opinion, because the Cowboys have played a nice game against the Seahawks. Well, the Seahawks are just a horrible road team, although you knew they were going to pull it out. But, I mean, Castle did not look good, and the Eagles are coming off a bye. Talk about a must-win for the Eagles. If the Eagles lose this game, their season is over because they would be 1-3 in the division, and that's just something you can't call out from. And I think that the Cowboys just finally get that win, get some momentum, and that means they would sweep the Eagles. I don't see that happening. Even though it's in Dallas, I think it's hard to sweep a team. I think the Eagles eke it out.
You know, I think you're right. Because I just don't see the Dallas Cowboys being good enough to beat anybody right now without their starting quarterback. And it's a shame. It's definitely a shame. I don't want to hear about Matt Castle. I don't want to hear about Brandon Weeden. And, you know, as good as Dez Bryant is, a wide receiver is only as good as the guy who's throwing him the football. I mean, that's what matters, you know. If you got no quarterback, the wide receiver is not going to get any catches. It's logic. I think that the Eagles are going to come in there. They're not going to play a good football game. I think that these two teams are going to be playing bad football. Let's face it, the NFC East as a whole is pretty bad. So, I mean, I think that this will be a sloppy game. But I think when it comes down to it, I think the fact that Tony Romo is not – I mean, Tony Romo should be the MVP, by the way. Even though he's not playing, he should still win the Most Valuable Player Award. Because we're seeing the true MVP, because if the MVP is the Most Valuable Player. Well, who do you think the Most Valuable Player is to the Dallas Cowboys? They can't win a game without Tony Romo there. I mean, it's crazy. So I think that as much as the Cowboys need this game, and as much as the Cowboys are so desperate to just get back in the win column, I think that they just don't have the guy to lead them to victory at quarterback right now. And until Tony comes back, I think when Tony Romo comes back, it's going to be too late for the Cowboys. I think they're going to be in a position where they haven't done enough in the time that he was out, and they're not going to be able to make up the ground. So I'm going to go with the Eagles in this game. Very close game, but I think that overall, better quarterback wins. I'm going to go with Philadelphia. And now, I don't even know. Do they even deserve the chant this week? I mean, you know what? I'm going to give them this instead.
Hello, you play to win the game.
One more time.
Hello, you play to win the game.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, there's no chant this week. It's a must-win game for the New York Jets. They are coming off of their worst loss in the Todd Bowles era, obviously, by leaps and bounds against the Oakland Raiders on the road. The defensive scheme is in question. The head coach is now in question right now. The quarterback situation is in question. A lot of questions right now for the New York Jets going into what we think is a must-win game at 4-3 on Sunday at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars, if you want to consider this team a playoff team. Jets, Jags. Who do you like and why?
And I'm telling you right now, this is a game that is going to have the Jets fans pulling their hair out in the first half, because I don't think this is a game where the Jets come out guns blazing up 21-0. Unfortunately, this is not going to be a game where you're putting your feet up with a cigar, unfortunately. But the Jets will pull it out because they have to. And I think that although they're not a great team yet, they're definitely a good team, and good teams, when they have to, get it done against the subpar team. And I think we're catching Jacksonville in literally the most perfect situation we could. They had a huge win in London, a massive win, and now they have this all this time off the game plan. And believe it or not, that usually doesn't work out for that team with all the rest and coming off that big win. Statistics show that usually spells a loss. The Jets are desperate no matter how you want to play. It doesn't matter if that's a 4-3. They're a little bit embarrassed. They can feel the New York heat. The Jets are going to end up winning the game by 10, but I think it's going to be a little bit scary early on.
You know something? I think that this game, I don't think it's going to be a cigar up with your feet up type win, but I think that the New York Jets are going to come out and this defense is going to make a statement on Sunday. I think they're embarrassed. I think that they have too much talent to be letting these teams throw the football all over the place on them. And let's face it, it's been happening lately. We watched Tom Brady pick him apart. We watched Derek Carr pick him apart. We watched other teams have some miscues against them with open guys. This defense is going to come out, and they're going to shut down the Jaguars, and they're going to show the rest of the league that this is still a good football team. I think that they're going to do extremely, extremely well on Sunday. I think they're going to win by 17 points, but I think that it's going to be I think there's going to be 3 to 5 turnovers produced by the defense. I think if you're going to tell what type of position Ryan Fitzpatrick is in early, because you're going to want to see how he's throwing the football, how he's moving around in the pocket, how that thumb is going to affect him, is going to be a huge part of how the Jets play on Sunday. Because if Ryan Fitzpatrick can't, you know, is limited in what he can do, you know, a limited Ryan Fitzpatrick is probably not a good Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, you know, I hate to put it this way. In all seriousness about Geno, I think if it turns out Fitzy isn't able to be a competent quarterback, I think you take him out early. I really do. I don't think that there's any use in having him injure something else or cause just turnovers that he cannot help because of his injury. Hopefully it becomes apparent either way how he's going to be able to deal with that. But I think the Jets need to be on serious watch with that early on.
Well, here's the deal. Here's what I'm thinking, okay? The New York Jets don't feel as strongly about the lack of confidence and lack of ability of Geno Smith that you and I do and the rest of the fan base does. I mean, they definitely think that Geno's not the answer. Otherwise, these guys wouldn't have jobs in the NFL. But remember, Geno Smith was the guy that was going to be the starting quarterback going into the season until he got punched in the face, okay? So the Jets, if Ryan Fitzpatrick would not have been named the starter by the coach unless he felt 150% that he was healthy enough to do it and he gave them the best chance to win. And I truly believe that. I don't think that you would throw Ryan Fitzpatrick out there to the Wolves knowing that, well, you know, we can't put Geno out there because he sucks. So let's just let Ryan Fitzpatrick go out there and wing it and we'll see what happens. I don't think the Jets are doing that. I think that they've put him through practice early in the week. He's shown that he can play with that glove on his hand and he can move the football. He can be effective in the pocket, and it has minimal effect on him. If that wasn't the case, I don't think the Jets would put him out there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. I'm just worried more so about the game time situation. And I know you know this, and everybody else knows this. Practice is not the same as the game. I'm just worried about when there's pressure in the space and he has to switch the ball. That tucking running isn't going to happen if he can't switch the ball. Things are going to change mentally for him. I just hope he's ready for it, and who am I to say? I think he will be, but I really think the Jets need to be cognizant and not be afraid to pull the trigger and pull the plug on 50 just for this game, because, as you said, it's an absolute must-win.
Right, and I think that's a good point. I think that it's going to, it's definitely going to take away from a lot that he's been doing lately, especially with, you know, running the ball. And as weird as we say, you know, sound talking about that with a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's been a huge intangible of his game. You know, when it's not there, he's tucked and run for 15 to 20 yards. Against the Redskins, he had a huge touchdown. So, I mean, it's definitely a big part of his game, and I think the Jets are definitely going to have to monitor it. But in my opinion, I don't think you would put Ryan Fitzpatrick out there unless he can play like Ryan Fitzpatrick at 100%.
I agree.
So, you know, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens on Sunday, because the New York Jets go into a doghouse situation at home, 4-3, bad loss against the Raiders. You know, it needs to be a type of game where you come out with the mentality that we can't lose. Because if they come out and they don't play with that type of mindset, it could be a rough day. And I want to remind everybody that the sports talk never stops here on Jet Nation Radio. It continues around the clock on JetNation.com. The forums are exploding every single day with new users. We're talking Jets every day, 24 hours. Your office water cooler sports talk is happening at JetNation.com. You want to talk about the defense. You want to talk about last week's debacle. You want to talk about the game coming up against the Jaguars. You want to talk about the Jets offensive line situation. You want to talk about the quarterback situation. Every topic, all Jets, JetNation.com. Huge game coming up. I hope everybody enjoys the game on Sunday. I think the Jets are going to pull it out. I think the defense is going to have a nice rebound performance and show everybody out there why we think that this is a number one defense. I want to thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you for tuning in to the Brandon Dowling Show on Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.